want to welcome everyone into the Sunday morning service. We appreciate the Sunday school lesson by Brother Danny this morning. And we welcome each one of you listening by Mixler into the worship service this morning. Let's begin our service with prayer. Father, we're so thankful. Thankful for this day you've given us, the Lord's Day, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thankful for the help of the Lord in my own life and in the lives of our people. We appreciate how that you have heard and answered prayer. And we ask, Lord, for your presence and ask for your help this morning. Enable us, Lord, to minister your word, to be able to be a blessing to the people of God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help those that are still sick and afflicted among us. We're thankful that Jesus is our healer, that Jesus suffered and died for us, rose again from the dead, and provided not only salvation but healing for our bodies. And we give you the glory and honor and praise, Father, for the help you've already given and for that which we know you're going to do. Lord Jesus, have your way now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song, Jesus Loves Even Me.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love
in the book he has given.
Wonderful things in the Bible I've seen. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms I would flee. When I remember that Jesus loves me, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, oh Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Sing. When in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Oh, Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Also, we'd like to recognize our mothers this morning and wish all of our mothers a happy Mother's Day. We'll sing a song in honor of our mothers this morning. If I could hear my mother pray again.
I dream when memory recalls them now and then, and with that rapture sweet my weary heart would be if I could hear my mother pray again. If I
tender voices then,
so happy I should be, would mean so much to me, if I could hear my mother pray again. She used to pray that I on Jesus would rely and always walk the shining gospel way. So trusting still his love, I seek that home of love where I shall meet my mother some glad day. If I could only hear my mother pray again, if I could hear her tender voice songs the angels loved to sing. If I could hear my mother pray again, if I could hear her tender voices then, so glad I'd be, it would mean so much to me. If I could hear my mother pray again. Her work on earth is done, the life crown has been won, and she will be at rest with him above. And some glad morning sheep I know will welcome me to that eternal
such a wonderful blessing to have a praying mother, and I think it would be God's will that everybody have a praying mother. And anyone who has had a praying mother has had a wonderful blessing from the Lord. I'm going to read a passage of scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. I want to say before I begin reading that I thank you for your prayers for me and for the church. I know that many of you have been praying for me and for the church here, and we've had people across the country sending us notices that they were praying for us, and the Lord has heard and answered prayer, and we give God glory and honor and thanksgiving for that. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9, the scriptures say, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work." I'd like to preach this morning with the Lord's help on the good work of rearing children. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to break the bread of life and ask for that anointing that makes the difference, and pray, Father, that you would bless those who are listening. May the word of God inspire, encourage, and instruct us in the ways of the Lord. Father, we give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. In my text, Paul enumerates the good works that were expected from a Christian woman in his day. And among those good works was this critical virtue, if she have brought up children. Motherhood was considered to be a virtue. The birthing, the training of children was a righteous act that flowed from a woman's Christian faith, her confidence in God, her belief in the truth. In this book of 1 Timothy, Paul gives as his purpose for writing to Timothy proper order in the house of God. He says in chapter 3 and verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Among other things, Paul exhorts Timothy to guard the purity of doctrine that's being taught in the house of God. He addresses the need for a proper appearance by the worshipers in the house of God. He gives qualifications for the officers of the church. And in the context of my text, he gives instructions concerning the support of widows in the church. My text indicates that the early church had a list of widows that qualified for material support by the church. They were to be at least 60 years of age, and they were to have a solid resume of Christian character. In addition to rearing children, this widow was to have been the wife of but one man. She could not be guilty of serial monogamy, divorcing and remarrying in a search for happiness at the expense of holiness. She was to have a reputation for hospitality. She must have lodged strangers. And hospitality was a good work that evidenced the genuineness of a person's faith. Hospitality marked the character of those early Christians. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, the bishop was to be a man given to hospitality. And Paul writes to Titus concerning the qualities of the bishop in Titus 1 and 8. He was to be a lover of hospitality. The writer in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." The reference here is to Abraham, who entertained three men who were passing by on their way to Sodom. One was the Lord Jesus himself, and the other two were angels on a divine mission. Paul wrote to the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13 that they were to be given to hospitality. If you're wondering what God considers to be a good work that's consistent with and arising from saving faith, hospitality is plainly said to be a good work. The family of God finds a welcome in the house and home of the righteous. The qualified widow was to have washed the saints' feet. This was part of the duty of hospitality. It was showing respect to guests, to provide them with a basin of water, and to wash their feet upon their entering the house. This was a job that was left to servants in wealthy homes, but poor people performed the duty themselves. This was something that Jesus did for his own disciples, setting an example of a servant attitude, washing the feet of his disciples. And this widow was to have demonstrated this type of servant attitude. She was to have washed the feet of the saints. She was also to have relieved the afflicted. And this probably entailed nursing the sick, supplying food to the needy, giving sustenance to the suffering, persecuted saints who might be languishing in prisons and dependent upon the charitable work of the saints. Her life was to be characterized by these good works. She was to have diligently followed every good work. That is, she persisted in doing good, not just once, but as a mark of her character, she persisted in doing good for the kingdom of God. Now, I want to look at the qualities of this widow in her role as a mother. Among her many duties, she brought up children. She was a Christian mother with the purpose of producing Christian children. And I want you to look at the benefits that were experienced by her children because their mother was a dedicated Christian. First of all, her children were raised in a stable home. Their mother was a one-man woman. She was loyal to her husband. The children didn't have to deal with the tension and the dangers of strange men acting as a substitute dad. They were not tossed to and fro from father to mother and having to decide which one to follow and which one to favor. Anybody that is from an intact family is greatly blessed. We're to be thankful for that. So many in our society suffer the trauma of a broken home, and often that fallout lasts for a lifetime. Mothers who are true to their marriage vows bless their children with an example that will strengthen the marriage of their children. And even though our families may not be perfect, but if we have an intact home, we have much to be thankful for. Secondly, her children were exposed to the influence of good people due to mother's hospitality. Evangelists, prophets, other good people found a welcome at her table, and the conversation and conduct of godly people in that home affected these children. The truth be told, there are many children in our society who have never known a godly person. Nobody in their family prays to God or knows God. And the atmosphere in the home is polluted by the filth of Hollywood, worldly songs, and internet garbage. And the air is constantly polluted by four-letter words, and cursing and swearing is common in every conversation. I have personally benefited from the hospitality exercised by my father and my mother. I was exposed to some choice saints through the years due to the hospitality of my parents. I made lifelong friends from the years that I fellowshipped with the families of saints around the family table. My mother was known for her hospitality. And then thirdly, the widow in my text set an example of servanthood to her children. She washed the feet of the saints. She was not a person seeking to be served, but to serve. Brother Danny mentioned this in his Sunday school lesson this morning, that this is the ethic of the kingdom of God, that we are to seek to be servants. Her beauty was the beauty of character and not cosmetics. She strove to be useful to the people of God. And like the house of Stephanus in Corinth, she addicted herself to the ministry of the saints. I refer to my mother because my mother earned the designation of being a servant of the Lord. She lived to serve. She served her family. She served her church with marked dedication. She set an example to her children and to the people of God of someone who lived for something greater than her own interest. Then fourthly, I want you to see this widow also demonstrated compassion toward those who were suffering some type of affliction. She considered the needs of the sick, of those injured, of those imprisoned for their faith. She relieved the afflicted so that her children had an example before them of a mother who sought to alleviate the sufferings of other people. I was blessed again to have a mother who demonstrated that kind of compassion in her Christian life. There was a young man in their church, just a teenage boy, who had to have his foot amputated. And my parents took him and some of his family to his appointment. It was some distance away. And the father of this young man testified that he listened to my mother praying in the back seat all the way to the hospital for that young man. It made an impression on him. My mother would minister to the inmates at a woman's prison near their home. And when we would go home for Christmas, one of those inmates would be in our home to share the experience of Christmas with our family. On Sundays, the prison would allow this woman to leave the grounds and go to church with my mother, who would go to that prison and pick her up and take her to church. The rearing of children is often sacrificed nowadays in favor of a paycheck for mother to spend on nicer clothes and an array of cosmetics. The children are considered better off with mother's money than with mother's time and mother's attention. This pandemic that we've been going through has made it necessary for some mothers to take time off from her career and take time to help with their children's education. With the schools being shut down by the pandemic, somebody had to be at home with the children. And the world has bemoaned the sacrifice of the woman having to temporarily spend time with her child. The Christian magazine, The World, ran a comic some months ago that showed a discouraged mother sitting at the breakfast table with her little boy. She was looking at a screen that said 30 million unemployed. The little boy had his hand on mother's arm, saying to her, "I don't care what they say, Mom, you're essential to me." And really, even though that was a little comic, there's so much truth in what that little boy said. "Mama, you are essential to me." Cornelia was a second century BC Roman aristocrat. Most of her children died young, but she was able to raise two boys, Tiberius and Gaius, and they both became famous reformers of Rome's agrarian laws. One day, a wealthy Roman lady came to visit Cornelia. Her two boys were still young, And this guest was proudly showing off her jewelry to her hostess. And then she challenged Cornelia to show off her own jewels. Cornelia pointed to her sons and said, "These are my jewels." When she died, a statue was erected in her honor. And the inscription bore these simple words, "Cornelia, the mother of the Gracchi boys." That was the inscription on her statue. The children need their mother. They need her time. They need her attention. But they need more than just her presence. They need her prayers, and they need her pattern of godly living. Abraham Lincoln remarked, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother. No man is poor who has had a godly mother." We are desperately in need of mothers. After the pattern in my text, our social fabric is unraveling in our country, and godly mothers are scarce. Holy women, virtuous women, are a rarity. If it be true, as the old saying goes, that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, we are in deep trouble. And I pray that God will raise up a generation of women whose main business is to please God, whose purpose is to produce a generation that knows God, a godly generation. You know, if we just supposed that the church reinstituted a register for widows with the qualities in my text, I wonder if the modern church is producing women that resemble these early Christians. We know the weakness of our modern church, but we also know the power of the cross and the power of the blood of Jesus. And we know the efficient work of God's Spirit. And we know that the Spirit of God is still forming women of character and holy conduct. And so we are praying that every woman that names the name of Christ would depart from iniquity, would be holy in spirit and in body, and would live to honor God and to preserve the knowledge of the truth in succeeding generations. If you have a godly mother, you have something to be greatly thankful for this morning. And every person who has had a praying mother, who knew what it was to have a mother who called their name in prayer, it is a treasure worth more than money to have had a mother who loved you that good, who was concerned not just about you having food and clothing, but who is concerned about your eternal destiny. That is a blessing. And we are not only to be thankful for those kind of mothers, but we are to pray that God will help us to produce that kind of mothers, that succeeding generations will know the kind of mothers that I have read to you about in the Word of God. God's Spirit is still working on the same pattern that He's always had. And that pattern comes from the Word of God. This Word of God is produced by the inspiration of God's Spirit, and He's still producing women in the same pattern as we see in the Word of God. This is our hope, really, that God is still at work, and that we are not hopeless just because the world seems to be going in a different direction. But we can have hope that in our own families, that we can produce by the grace of God. We can see the blood of Christ and the power of the Spirit producing in our homes the same kind of women that bring glory to God and honor to our Lord and pass the truth on to succeeding generations. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for those godly mothers whose influence lives on in the lives of their children, whose influence brought their children to Christ. Their prayers, their teaching, their instruction, their godly example. Father, we thank you and praise you for them. We know that they are the product of the blood of Christ and the product of the power of the Spirit. And Lord, we are praying that you would continue to work in this church, among our families, and that you would continue to produce holy women, godly women, mothers whose primary desire is to honor God, glorify the Lord, and produce generations who fear God and love God and serve God in the beauty of holiness. Lord God, I love you. Thank you for giving me a mother like that. Thank you, God, for my mother who prayed for me, taught me, instructed me, lived before me. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate so much our godly mothers. Thank you for my wife who lives the same kind of life my mother did. God, I praise you for my daughter that's living the same kind of life and others in our church, Lord. We have so many in our church. And thank you for them who are living examples of a godly mother, a godly woman. And God, I pray your blessings on them and ask you to encourage them and strengthen them. I pray, God, that the power of God would be manifested in their lives, encouraging them in the way of truth and righteousness. Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for the help you provide us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.